I knew the mansion halls like the back of my hand. The tapestries along the walls were old and depicted battles and conquering heroes that I didn't know. My favorite was one where a giant snake coiled around a hero. I didn't think the hero would make it. But there is no way of saying how the story ended. I suppose the hero would have to win. That was how stories went, right? I swallowed hard. Was I the hero now? Would my actions be seen as helpful and good, or as monstrous as a two-story giant snake?
Do not fuss, Pam.
Oka batted at my ear.
You have made a decision. That's good. Now we go forward with confidence.
I reached up and touched a finger to her nose. You're awfully smart for being so young. She nipped at my finger.
That makes two of us.
The smile on my lips faded as I stepped through the doorway and into the massive library. The tall windows that stood as high as the ceiling were the same, and the sun coming through them was the same muted light as always. But it felt weird without Riley and the others. I glanced at the table Alex had liked to hide under, but of course he wasn't there. Raven leaned over the main desk in the middle of the room, a book flat open in front of him.
Do you know how to blend all five powers to create a single pulse of energy?
He didn't look up from the book. I'm not sure. Maybe? He turned and beckoned me closer as he leaned his butt against the table. His other hand rose chest level, palm to the ceiling. Over his open palm, curls of light began to flicker and rise. Red, blue, green, white, and pink. They spun faster and faster, until they were nothing but an orb over his hand. I couldn't take my eyes away.
Can you see this too?
Yes. I just wanted to stare at the colors and the spinning orb. Slowly, I lifted my own hand, mimicking him move for move. The five powers rose in me easily, and I sent them all to my palm. I looked at my own hand and watched as the five colors began to spin and blend. But the orb was different than Raven's. Where his was smooth and calm, mine tumbled and tangled in on itself. Tiny forks of color shot out of the orb like miniature lightning bolts. Why?
Because you are a witch, and I am not.
Raven dropped his hand.
Your power is meant to destroy first, heal second. An elemental is meant to heal first and never destroy. That is why there are some spells that require both an elemental and a witch of great power to complete.
His words were not surprising. My ability to fight, injure, and kill had been instinctual, as easy breathing. Learning to heal had taken much more time and effort before I'd been able to master it. What do I do with it now? I rolled my hand, and the orb followed as if attached to my skin.
And is this not the same as when a bolt of pure power leaves me?
I'd done that before, but it had felt very different than this.
I suggest you reabsorb that energy. Combined like that is 10 times stronger than any pure power that you are mumbling about.
Raven shook his head.
Pure power. Ridiculous.
I drew a breath and imagined the elements sliding back into my skin, which they did without much effort.
Well done!
I smiled at my familiar and looked up at Raven, but he was just staring at me.
You are a fast learner.
I am.
Something harder then, shall we?
I nodded and tried not to look too eager. Standing there with Raven, it was easy to forget he was the self-proclaimed bad guy, and that he would likely try and kill me the second he was done with my help. I realized then that was exactly what was going on. Not only did he need me to gather the book for him, but I had no doubt he would need me for some spell he didn't want me to know he needed me for. I shook my head ever so slightly.
No? You've changed your mind?
I crossed my arms. No, I haven't. He grinned suddenly, and I had the feeling that I knew him. That flash of teeth, the way his lips turned up at the edges. Where, though, had I seen him?
Can you read people?
He pushed himself onto the table and sat staring at me. This was so different than anyone else who'd ever taught me. I shook my head. I'm no mind reader.
No, I mean, can you read people? Can you tell how powerful they are? Surely you've been around others who can do this.
He wasn't being condescending, so that much was good, I think. Yes, some of the witches could do it, but they never told me how.
Probably they were worried you would see how weak they were in comparison to you. It's a hard skill to learn. It might take a bit for you to gain it, because it is not a skill of magic, but of your second sight.
I relaxed my stance. I have used my second sight. He spread his arms wide.
Then use it on me, little witch. Tell me what you see.
What was this now? No instruction? I narrowed my eyes to stare at him. Oka leaned forward.
It's not just about your second sight, Pam. I've heard it said by the other familiars that this gift is about seeing someone's ties to the Mother Earth.
I glanced down at Raven's feet, but there was nothing there. I bit my lower lip and narrowed my eyes further until they were mere slits I could barely see out of. Damn it! Raven slid from the table.
It takes a lot of practice. I'm glad to see I can stump you.
My eyes flew open. Well, it's not like you told me what to do.
You either can do it or you can't. It takes years in some cases, and there is no right or wrong way. It's how you see someone's power and understand it as a reflection to you. Let's move on to your next task, shall we?
Not until you show me one more thing. He folded his arms over his chest.
Rather demanding, aren't you? Did you have something in mind?
Look, I know a lot. It's your job to teach me something I can't learn from another witch. Otherwise, you're useless to me. He flinched as though I'd hit him.
Useless?
I shrugged and fought a sudden spurt of fear. You get my point? He snapped his fingers and a cloak curled around him, as if it sprung from somewhere on his back and was released, like wings, like it was alive. Another snap of his fingers, and the hood rose and slid over his face.
Then learn this, little witch.
The voice that came from the figure was not Raven's any longer. No, the voice was that of someone evil and dark. Someone who would slit me open just for shits and giggles, just to see what my insides looked like. Oka's claws tightened on my shoulder.
Back away!
I stumbled back as Raven took a step toward us. I whipped my hands up and called on the five powers in me, spinning them into a flashing, bobbing orb. He lifted a hand and I tensed. With a swift move, he knocked his hood back.
Now, can you do that with your cloak? Make it an extension of you? Make it shadow who you really are, and in doing so, hide you from the world and your enemies?
Heart hammering as though I'd been running for my life, I struggled not to toss the orb at him. Perhaps he saw it in my eyes, because he went rather still.
Pamela, I promised I would not hurt you.
I put no stock in your promises. You did that on purpose to scare me.
Of course I did. I did it to show you the power of hiding your face. You can confuse your enemies and keep yourself safe if they do not know you. You can protect your loved ones that way too. If your enemies find out how much you love your family, they will use that against you.
Carefully, I dropped my hand as I reabsorbed the energy from the five elements into my skin. Oka pressed her cheek to the back of my neck. She didn't say anything, but she didn't have to. He'd scared me to show he could still hurt me. I wasn't a fool. Oka, come to my shoulder. She did as I asked, silent as she climbed out of my hood. I pulled on the currents of air around us and slowly brought the hood of my cloak up around my face, hiding both Oka and myself.
That is well done. But you are not cloaked as I was. It is a gift of spirit that allows you to hide. Think of it as being bent between dark and light, a place of in-between.
His words resonated, and the dark part of me wept with joy. To be hidden in the night. to do terrible, dangerous, murderous things. I pushed that part of me away. I would not go back to that place. I shivered and shook my head. No. I swept the cloak from my face. No, I don't want to. I will not hide who I am. Raven stared at me hard, as though I'd said something wrong. But all I knew was that I didn't want to be in that place again. I'd been there before, when I'd run away to Millie. I'd lived with half my heart in the dark, and the other half striving for the light, and I refused to stand there again. Raven held his hand up in concession. In his eyes was something that looked like disappointment for my lack of trying to wrap myself in shadows as he did. I refused to rise to the bait. He didn't know me. He didn't know what I'd lived through already. I would not let myself succumb to darkness again. Not if it was within my power.
Fine. But you will want to learn it at some point. Just remember to anchor yourself through the earth when you do it. It is spirit that creates the place to hide, but earth that will bring you back.
Oka slid back into my hood.
Funny he mentions that now after you refused to try.
I nodded my agreement. He was cagey. Raven turned his back to me and leaned over the pages he had open.
This book tells us how to gain your friend back. But it will require both of us, as I suspected, and an ingredient I have never heard of.
I leaned over the page he stared at so intently. Retrieval of a soul. This is not to be undertaken lightly. But if it must be done, you will need the tears of a ghost to help breach the layers of the veil. That was it. There was no instruction, no details of anything else.
So, any idea where to find the tears of a ghost?
I frowned at the page and then up at Raven.
You don't know?
I don't. I've never dealt with a ghost before. They primarily stay on their side of the veil. And catching their tears sounds... what is the word humans use? Dodgy?
I reached out to touch the page, and he pulled the book away.
No fingers on the old paper. It's fragile.
A lie. I could feel it in the air between us. I drew myself up.
Don't be a fuckwit, Raven. You and I both know it's elemental made, and as such, will not be breaking under my damn fingers.
Oka snickered and dipped her head down.
Fuckwit. That's a new one.
Good old English slang. Anger flashed across Raven's features, but it was gone before it ever settled.
Fine. You want to see what it says?
He flipped the book around so I could see the words appearing below that had been hidden from me. Retrieval of a soul comes at a high cost. One must be ready to defy the Mother Goddess, to defy the world as it was made, to bring back a loved one. This is not necromancy. There will be no raising of a body without a soul. This is true resurrection. And it will tear at the very fabric of the world, no matter if it is done correctly or not. The words crushed what was left of my hope. How could I bring someone back when doing so would tear at the fabric of the world? Yet Raven didn't seem to want to stop me. I lifted my eyes to him. Why would you let me do this? He closed his eyes and rubbed a hand over his face.
It is complicated.
A tap on the window turned us both to the panes of glass across from us. Hovering in the air was a figure in white with long hair spilling out around its lean body. Raven pushed me hard toward the hall.
Go. I will deal with this.
I was through the door, and he'd locked it before I could fully comprehend what just happened.
I think we should do as he says. If nothing else, the sylph will come for you if we dawdle.
Oka butted her head against mine as if to send me along faster. I pulled the cloak around me and let spirit flow through me. I rode the element to a place I knew well. A place that should be safe. The police station where Will worked was better than anything else I could think of. As a shifter, he had connections to the supernatural world I did not. He was my best bet in trying to find the tears of a ghost. I took us to the roof of the police station.
Just to be on the safe side, I took the place in. There were still deep gouges in the roofing where Eve had landed and taken off, where the beast of Bodmin Moor had tried to take Riley out. Not many of the memories I had of here, or knew from here, were good. But still, it was where I'd find Will. And I believed in my heart he would know where I could find the ingredient. Okay, maybe hoped was a better word than believed. I drew a breath and a shiver wandered down my spine. There was the slightest hitch of air that was not my own. But maybe I was imagining things. That was possible.
Ochre, do you hear anything?
She popped her head up and her ears swiveled.
There is someone on the roof here, but I smell nothing. Their heartbeat is erratic.
I dropped to a crouch and the cloak pooled around me. Suddenly I wished I'd pushed harder in learning to hide myself as Raven knew how.
We can hear you. Come out slowly.
Nothing happened for a solid minute. I held a hand up with a ball of flame hovering over my fingertips.
Now, or I will toss this your way.
I wasn't even sure what their way was, but I was getting good at bluffing. A figure stood and stepped out from around a few of the planter boxes. A boy, maybe my age, but I wasn't entirely sure. He had dark hair that hung over his eyes. He was very muscular, not like the lean bodies I was used to seeing on boys my age.
What are you doing hiding up here?
What are you doing jumping the veil at your age?
His voice was low, deep. Maybe he wasn't my age after all. I didn't move.
I didn't jump the veil.
Bullshit. Who taught you?
His eyes darted to mine, and there was a flicker of red. Red. Demon. I threw the ball of flame as I lurched forward. With my other hand, I pulled the sword from my back. It would kill demons. I'd seen it taken down Orion. Ochre clung to me as I raced at the demon. There was no question about what I had to do. He pulled a weapon from the air, a staff that had blades on either end. He spun it out, and I caught it in the middle with my blade, snapping it in half. His eyes widened as he stumbled back, now with a weapon in each hand. Maybe that had been a bad idea. He whipped both out, one around his head and one toward my feet. But there was a hitch in his movement, like he was holding back. I rolled to the side, tucked my head down and came up with the sword held above my head. I caught his two blades on mine and jerked my handle hard. The force of my move sent him sideways and he went to his knees. Ochre stayed off to the side.
The smell on him. He's a demon.
I know. You fucking piss stain. I'm going to send you back to the Seventh Vale.
He dropped his weapons and held up his hands. They were covered in blood. I frowned. Did demons bleed? I hadn't even hit him yet.
I'm already injured, and I'm only half demon. I was born here, in London.
I wanted to run him through. My hatred for demons was so strong. They destroyed my family. They were the reason Alex was gone. The reason Riley was no longer a tracker. The reason we'd lost so many friends. His words took a moment to sink in.
What do you mean you were born here?
His hands shook and dripped with blood.
My mother was a witch. She called up a demon. He raped her, and I was the product, seeing as we're sharing.
My spine tingled, mostly because I thought he might be telling the truth.
How were you injured?
That's not sharing.
He smiled, though it turned into a grimace. I narrowed my eyes and stared at him hard, trying to see just how strong he was. Because if his mother was a witch, then... A slight echo of light rose around his ankles, a connection to the earth. From there, the power spread upward along his legs, torso, and limbs, but it hovered away from his hands. And the light was just that, light, not dark. Did that mean he wasn't a bad guy?
What are you doing?
His eyes narrowed, and I shook my head.
You're blocked from your power.
aren't you?
He stared at me, his eyes not the black I thought, but a green so dark, it was hard to tell they were green even in the light.
I am blocked. How did you know?
He blinked, and there was just a flicker of red again, but he seemed to push it back. Was that right?
I just do.
I suddenly understood why witches wouldn't share this info. It was a leg up on understanding what your opponent could and couldn't do.
How did you get hurt?
He took a step and slid to the ground with his back against the retaining wall.
There's a pack of shifters around here. They seem to be aware of what a demon's eyes look like, of what they smell like. I tried not to hurt them, but got bit in the end.
He lifted his shirt and showed me a wound that was indeed a large bite out of his side. Next to it were vertical claw marks that could only belong to a rather large cat.
You should learn to hide that demon side of you. Demons aren't exactly on the people we should trust and be friends with list.
The words popped out of me before I thought better of them. He tried to smile, but it slid from his face in a split second.
Yeah, I got that. I've been hiding for years, if I'm honest, love.
I'm not your love.
You aren't trying to kill me. That's love, as far as I'm concerned.
I glanced at Oka, doing my best to send her a silent question.
Should we help him?
Oka took a breath and nodded.
Hello. Yes, I think so. Maybe he can offer a trade?
The demon didn't move as Oka spoke. Of course, he couldn't hear her. No one who wasn't an elemental could. Bonus points for having a familiar.
I need to know where to find some ghosts, or the tears of a ghost. You know of any around here?
He nodded.
Yeah, over on High Street. There's two ghosts that haunt the local pub.
He looked at me.
Why?
Damn, you really aren't one of the bad guys, are you?
Sorry to disappoint.
I slid the sword I still gripped overly hard into the sheath on my back. I'm going to heal you. He tipped his head to the side and stared up at me with one eye.
Why would you do that?
Because you aren't one of the bad guys.
I shrugged and made my feet walk in his direction. It took everything I had to control my hands from blasting him into pieces. Demon, not demon. Demon, but not bad. I knew it was possible, just not common. I crouched by his side and stared at the wound. It might hurt.
Lovely.
I put my hands on the wound and fed my power through my fingers, knitting the wound together, giving him a little something of my own energy, of my own essence, in order to put him back into one piece. His skin closed over under my hands until there was nothing but bright pink scar tissue. I stepped back and called up some water to my hands, washing my fingers clear of his blood.
Thanks for the tip about the ghosts, but I'm going now, and if you want to be safe from that shifter pack, you should go too.
He shook his head and pushed to his feet.
Well, I'm afraid it isn't that easy. They scented me, and I think they have some of the humans watching for me too. If I could get out of the city, I would have by now.
I frowned and rubbed a hand over my brow.
Well, I can take you somewhere, I guess. Where do you want to go?
He stared at me hard.
Who are you? No one does things like this anymore. Certainly not for a demon. Half demon or not. Good, bad, or otherwise.
I bit my lower lip. What would Riley say?
No. What did I say? Because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes that's the only light in the dark. The right thing.
I held my hand out to him.
Where do you want to go?
Wait, what is your name?
He put his hand in mine, and a shot of power like I'd never felt before ricocheted between our fingers.
He didn't let go. A grin tugged at his lips.
My name is Ajax. But my friends call me Jax.
Pamela. And that cat is Oka. He looked at her.
She talks.
Not to you.
I can hear her. You can't. He hadn't let go of me yet. Nor had I let go of him. Where do you want to go, Ajax?
Any ideas where they might not know anything about demons?
His eyes were on mine, and I struggled against the weird emotions rocketing through me. North.
North? I tried North.
I mean like North America North. Alaska. I haven't found any supernaturals up there, nor demons. Which was the truth. Marco and I had found neither hide nor hair of anything in the cold white North. Strange, considering some of their legends. Jax tightened his hold on me.
Are you sure it won't cost you to take me?
He seemed to have some understanding of how the veil worked, at least. I nodded. All good. Just don't let go, or you'll end up a wank stain in the middle of nowhere. I closed my eyes. Oka, I'll be right back. I thought of Alaska and the snow and the cold. Three heartbeats, and I opened my eyes. We stood at the edge of what I thought might be the ocean. Behind us was nothing but bush and forest. The trees weighted down with snow. It was still early in the year, and nowhere else had the icy cold claim it like this. I can't leave you here. I started to tug him closer, fully meaning to take us somewhere else. He pulled his hand from mine.
This is perfect.
He took a step back and then grinned at me.
Thank you, Pamela. Greatest witch I have ever met.
He swept into a courtly bow that made me blush.
Perhaps we'll cross paths again one day.
Not if you don't figure out that block. He grinned and had the audacity to blow me a kiss.
Let it be then. And good luck with the ghosts. Be warned that when they realize you see them, they'll cling like burrs to your sweet ass.
He moved a hand to his lower back and pulled something out. A knife in a back sheath.
It ain't much, but I want you to have it. You saved my life back there.
I took the knife. It wasn't very big, but I'd lost my Bowie knife in the pit. Burned it up in the lava when I first fell in. I tucked this new knife and sheath to my lower back. You sure you don't need it?
Nah, I've always got something on my sleeve. Don't you worry about me, Pamela. Though it's nice to think you might.
He winked, spun, and was running before I could say anything in response. I took a breath of the icy cold, clean air. Alaska. What the hell had made me think of this place? A tiny voice whispered the truth to me. Pamela? Spirit? He'll be closer to you once you go home to Riley. I shook that away, closed my eyes, and rode Spirit back to where Oka waited. She wasn't alone. Will stood on the rooftop of the police station. His dirty blonde hair stuck up in every direction, and his clothes were filthy, torn and hanging off his frame. There was no sign of the man he'd been before. His eyes were wild, and he lurched toward me before I had the chance to say a word.
Where is he?
I saw the beast in him, and knew if I didn't defuse this fast, he was going to shift.
Will! It's me! Pamela!
I held out my hands, and he sniffed the air.
Will, you remember me, don't you?
If he shifted and attacked me, I wasn't entirely sure I could stop him without killing him. I stumbled back as he took a step in my direction. I went down to one knee, and my movement set him off. He shifted, his body sliding into his black panther form with a single smooth motion. He crouched, his tail lashing across the gravel in big sweeps.
Will, don't do this!
He snarled, and his muscles bunched.
Oka!
She ran for me, skidding to a stop between us. Another time, it would have been comical to see the tiny, peachy orange cat fluffed up and hissing at a black panther that could have swallowed her whole with a single bite. A single bite and she'd be dead. What had I been thinking? Will didn't even look at her as he slunk toward me. Until she shot forward and slashed her tiny dagger claws across his nose. He roared and shook his head. But Oka wasn't done. She slashed at his nose and went for his eyes too. Like a fly pesters an elephant, she kept at him, dodging around, avoiding him easily. I got to my feet. The distraction was all I'd needed to get my bearings. I called up air and spun it around Will, stilling his movements.
Will, stop it!
I walked up to him, now that he couldn't move, and slapped a hand across his furred face. Nothing changed. Nothing happened except for him to strain harder against the bonds I'd held him in. His eyes were still wild, and my heart broke.
Will, what happened to you?
Oka leapt up, and I caught her in my arms.
He's lost himself to his animal. With shifters sometimes. One thing too many, and it pushes them over the edge.
I closed my eyes. He was my friend. Riley's friend. I can't believe he's lost too.
I'd lay money he can smell the demon on you. His blood got on you, didn't it?
Oka pulled back and sniffed at me.
Yes, I can smell it on you now that I am looking for it. Has he had dealings with demons before?
They killed his sister.
Oh dear, that would do it, I would think.
I backed away from the snarling face of Panther Will. As soon as I'm out of sight, I can't hold him anymore.
I think you should just disappear.
Relief flowed through me. Of course that's what I should do. I just hadn't thought of it. The skill was still new to me. I put a hand up and touched her head, just to be sure she was there, and thought about the pub that Jax had told me about. In a blink, I was gone from the rooftop. So much for getting help from Will. I opened my eyes and stared around, and found a whole lot of humans staring right back. I had taken us just outside of the pub. That had been my plan, and it had worked a little too well. We stood in the front courtyard and the humans, all men, were in a semicircle around me, as though they'd been waiting. But how could that be? I just appeared right in front of them, right out of thin air. More than one took an aggressive step toward me, and the click of a gun's hammer froze me. I slowly raised my hands and prepped to ride Spirit right back out of there.
Help me!
The plea normally would have turned me around. As it was, I felt it prudent to keep my eyes on the advancing humans.
Oka, who is it?
She popped up and looked behind us.
Dark-haired woman on a platform with a noose around her neck and her hands tied behind her back.
I raised my hands a little higher. The world was truly going mad. I wiggled my fingers at the humans.
Don't you worry. I'll be leaving. Help me, please!
I spun. My cloak flared out and the gun went off. I ducked as well as I could while still staying upright. I flicked my hands out at the rope around the woman's neck. Flames cut through the twine as though sliced with a razor. She scrambled down from the platform. I raced toward her, grabbed her hand, and pulled on Spirit to take us away from the courtyard. The world went from the chaos and yelling of the humans after us to the quiet of the forest. I'd taken us to the outskirts of the city, a park I'd been to so long ago I could barely remember it. Except that I remembered it being far away and very sparse with people.
Who are you?
The witch turned slowly to look at me as she worked the ropes off her hands.
Who are you that you couldn't stop them?
I didn't understand how they'd gotten a hold of her in the first place. Then I just stared at her. The face. The hair. She was the witch that killed my mother. No longer pregnant, of course, but otherwise, she was the woman. There was no doubt about it.
I was a fool. I thought that he loved me. And when he got me drunk... Well, you know how it is, eh, lassie?
I didn't know how it was. But I knew witches could be fooled by their hearts, same as any human. All of that was a blur, though. I was spinning through emotions. Should I want to kill her for what she'd done? Because I didn't. She looked at me fully.
It cannot be.
You killed my mother. She shook her head, and her eyes were shadowed with fear.
Your mother. She brought it on herself. She tampered with things beyond her ken. It was a fool coven that took her down. You saw her last memory, did you? I was the one to finish the spell.
She straightened.
If you're going to be killing me, then do it. I've got nothing left since my bonnie girl was killed.
I didn't move. Couldn't. My mother was not... She was not the kind of person I wanted to be. I had seen the darkness in her eyes and the hard line of her mouth. I didn't love her. I no longer wanted to avenge her death. No. Just go. I backed up a few steps, her eyes locked onto mine.
Are not like her.
I shook my head, conviction flowing through me and, of all things, relief. No. I'm not. I could see the tension ease out of her as her shoulders slumped.
There are so few left, child. If you need help, call on me. My name is Megan. You would be of an age with my bonny girl.
She stared at me, her eyes glittering with unshed tears.
And be safe, daughter of the forest. You are one of the last.
She snapped her fingers and was gone. She jumped the veil. I shook my head as I stared at the spot where Megan the Witch had been only a moment before.
What now?
Obviously, I couldn't go back to the pub where Megan had nearly been hanged. Too many humans on the lookout for a witch. That left me one option. There is a place I know where there are ghosts. I did not want to go back there, but I know for sure there is one ghost. And if there is any that would cry, it will be him. I swung my cloak around me and closed my eyes. I pulled spirit through me and let it carry me to a place I'd not wanted to go. A place I'd sworn never to step foot in again. A place where I knew there were ghosts, because I had seen them. The place I was handed off to when my abilities began to present themselves. When my adoptive parents couldn't handle me anymore. Carefully, I opened my eyes one at a time. As if by doing so, I could keep from seeing where I stood. I was in the backyard of the home for disturbed children. The three-story structure still loomed into the sky, a massive square of grey with bars on the sparse, small lower windows. At least that was what the back of the house looked like. From the front, I knew it looked lovely, welcoming even. But the back told the truth of what this house was. The yard, big as it was, and something of an anomaly, just being that large, was stripped of grass. Nothing but slick, slimy mud covered the ground.
Where are we?
Oka peered out over my shoulder, hoisting herself up to see. My jaw ticked as I fought the nervous fear that bubbled in my belly. A place of many ghosts. They took in the troubled children and did whatever they thought they had to do to correct them. Oka glanced at me.
I can feel your abhorrence. Did you know it well, then?
I stayed where I was, crouched in the shadows of a broken-down shack that had been my refuge more than once. I lived here. No other words, and yet Oka picked up my swirling thoughts.
My beautiful girl, that was so wrong of your parents to leave you here.
Just those words were all it took. No one had ever said that, not even Riley. I slumped to my knees. Oka slid between me and the ground.
You are not that child any longer, Pamela. You aren't. You are strong and kind and beautiful, and no amount of hurt can take that away from you.
I lifted my head. There was a boy. He died here, while I was here. I could hear his screams in the room next to me. My eyes found the bedroom window on the third floor. I need to get into his room. His ghost will be there, trapped.
Are you sure?
Yes. I've seen him before. Before they took me away. He was so sad. That memory I'd pushed away climbed to the front of my brain. The rage that had swelled in me as they dragged me away. The pain and grief at seeing my friend forever tied to a place that had terrified him. It had all seemed so wrong, but maybe that was why I was here. My words to Jack suddenly had more meaning than I'd even realized when I'd said them. To do what was right. Maybe I could make things right here, too. I stood. I need to do this on my own, Oka. Can you understand that? My familiar closed her eyes,
pinched them shut so tightly she made wrinkles around them.
I do not like it, but yes. I understand the need to face your demons on your own legs, with no one to catch you if you fall.
It was only then I realized I hadn't thanked her for standing between me and Will, for being braver than I could have ever hoped for. She must have picked up on my thoughts, because she shook her head.
You don't thank a familiar for doing their job.
I smiled at her. You were amazing. You were a tiger in that moment. My brave girl. Her eyes shone as she stared up at me.
I'm glad I'm your familiar. I think for you, it is easier for me to be brave.
I slid the cloak from my shoulders and let it drop to the ground. I will try not to be long. Oka stepped onto the cloak and sat in the hood.
I will wait as long as I must wait.
With my back to her, I squared my shoulders and started toward the back door of the house. The place where I'd lost my childhood. The place where they'd tried to break my spirit. The place where ghosts of my past waited to test my courage. I stopped with my hand on the knob, the icy cold of the metal sucking all the warmth from my fingers. Just open it. This house I'd thought I'd left in my past, left in my nightmares, had taken hold of me again as if I'd never left. No, I would not fall to that fear. I sent a rumble of fire from my fingers into the metal of the doorknob. Warmer now, but not any easier to turn. Do it. I twisted the knob. Inside the back door, the first room I stood in was mud and laundry. I drew a breath in, tasted the mold and dusky damp of being continually wet, with both the moisture of the clothing and the jackets and boots tromping in and out of Harriet and Boomer's house. I pushed the door behind me shut. Their names made me shiver. Harriet and Boomer. My guardians. Not guardians. Devils who looked to break me under the pretense of helping me. I rubbed my hands up and down my arms as the old hurts and memories stirred in my heart. You are not that child anymore. From further within the house came the grumbling snore that still haunted my dreams. You'd think it was Boomer because of his girth, his triple chins and beady sunken eyes. But the snoring belonged to Harriet, whose girth was only slightly less than Boomer's. In some ways, they looked more like siblings than husband and wife. My parents, who I now knew were my adoptive parents, had dropped me off just before I turned 12. I'd lit the living room curtains on fire. They'd thought I was a firebug, a demon possessed. Turned out, of course, it was a little more complicated than that. My mind retraced the past as I picked my way through the refuse and rubble. A stench I knew all too well billowed up from a vent in the floor. I turned my head away. How could they live in this squalor? How could anyone let their child come here? I let my mind go back to that first day when we'd stood in front of the huge house. The flowers decorating the window ledges. The fresh, clean white paint on the door. The sign above it. Home for challenged children. Challenged. Harriet and Boomer had been clean, their hair combed, their hands out for the money that would keep me bound to them for nearly a year before my parents decided to take matters back into their own hands. I put a hand on the wall to steady myself, and the material gave way under my weight, sinking me in up to my wrist. I pulled back and flicked off the soft, moldy bits that clung to me. The bottom of the stairs that went to the third floor was through the hall to my right. I could have closed my eyes and seen the passageway, but I found myself pausing at the intersection that would lead to the front of the house, to where Harriet and Boomer resided and reigned. They set up far enough away from the upstairs bedroom so they couldn't hear the children begging to eat, to be let out, to be unleashed from the leathers holding them to the beds. The shakes along my muscles began then, as the full weight of where I was crashed around me, taking me back to a time I couldn't save myself. The smells and sights overwhelmed me, clung to me like ghosts I could not escape. With my fists clenched and my body fighting my every step,
I made myself go left. I needed to see them. The two bastards who'd beaten me and made me believe that I was worthless and an abomination.
You smell that, Boomer?
Harriet's voice froze me between one step and the next.
What?
Smells like one of the brats.
She sniffed several times, and it was only then that something occurred to me. How had two humans, horrible as they were, survived what I'd thrown at them? Even as an untrained witch, I'd been dangerous. I knew that now. I'd tried lashing out at them with my powers, and they had bounced off their skin like nothing. And then, after the first few incidents, they'd kept my hands bound and jammed behind me. I swallowed hard, or tried to, because my past had tightened my throat like a noose. I had desperately not thought about this time in my life, and hadn't really ever considered the possibility that Boomer and Harriet were not human. They were supernaturals like me. They had to be. But what were they? Funny, but thinking of them as supernaturals stole some of the fear away. I'd dealt with monsters before. I could do it again.
Go see if the kid is still tied down. I thought he was dead, but maybe he got away.
I stood where I was, holding my ground. Maybe, if I was being honest, I just couldn't move. I couldn't go forward and couldn't go back. The air tensed around me, and I lifted both hands. No, they knew magic, or at least how to repel it. I reached over my shoulder and pulled the sword from my back. If anyone deserved to die, it was these two. No human justice would ever be handed out to them. I coiled my body, ready to spring. Boomer stepped into the hall, and for the first time, I really saw him. Saw through the layers of falsehood he'd placed on himself to hide from the other humans. His skin hung in loose pale blue and green folds from his chin all the way down to his knees. Like someone had given him three people's worth of flesh and attached it randomly here and there. A mouth that filled most of the lower half of his face had teeth protruding past oversized, swollen-looking lips. A long tongue flicked out, tasted the air, split in two, then three, and wriggled this way and that, left and right. His piggy eyes were as deeply set as ever, and they widened when he saw me. A troll. Boomer was a bloody damn troll.
Who the fuck are you?
He didn't take a step toward me. Maybe he was smarter than he looked.
Who is it?
Some girl with a sword. Looks familiar.
Boomer's tiny eyes narrowed to mere pinpricks.
Wait a tick. I know you. Pamela. You was the one your parents took back and had the demons exorcised at the church. How'd that work for you, witch?
I pointed the sword at him, noting that the tip trembled not because it was heavy, but because my nerves. I couldn't seem to slow them. He wasn't afraid of me. Wasn't afraid of my magic, which told me something vital. Some trolls were immune, like Riley. Immune to the touch of magic. And that put me at a disadvantage. But were they immune to an elemental's power? A tingle of excitement whispered through me.
Worked fine. The tracker saved me. And now I'm part of her pack.
Boomer lifted a hand and pointed one of seven thick fingers at me.
The tracker? Oh, so proud of you to have gone so far.
You have a kid upstairs.
I pointed with my free hand to the stairs. He nodded and gave a huge rolling shrug that jiggled the layers of skin.
Helping kids is what we do.
I would have lunged at him then, but I'd been sloppy. Far too sloppy. I heard Ochre call out, but her warning was too late. The back door burst open, and Harriet roared through, her form as beefy and overly skinned as Boomer's, only her colouring was a pale pink and orange. That was all I saw before she got her arms around my upper body. pinning them down to my body.
Fuck!
I fought to no avail against the loose folds of her flesh. Twisting my wrist, I tried to flick a ball of flame, but I couldn't even manage that. She laughed and bounced me up and down in her arms, like I was a fussy toddler she wanted to shake into silence.
What a potty mouth! We didn't teach you those words, Pamela!
Boomer drew close, and I fought to get my sword hand up, to lift the weapon and drive him through the belly.
Bring her into the front parlor. I want to see her close. Maybe we can still get something for her.
I had a choice. I could try and make a leap through the veil and possibly take Harriet with me. Or I could fight them on my own terms. I relaxed in Harriet's arms. I might be a fool for staying, but I had to see this through. Whatever it meant, I had to finish this task in this place. I had to put the past to bed. Harriet trundled with me through the hall, and as we passed the stairs, the sound of crying drifted down to us. The troll took note of the direction I stared.
Yeah, that is our last one. She's a pain in the arse, like you.
You aren't going to survive this. My words came out calm, clear, and steadier than I could have hoped.
Funny, coming from the one about to be tied to a chair.
I jerked my head away from her. Seconds later, Boomer had a length of rope and was wrapping me in it. And that was when I realized my mistake. The rope was spelled to keep me from using magic. So even though Harriet was no longer blocking me with her innate immunity, I was still helpless. Wankers and fucknuggets. This was bad.